Hello, this is Beth Ludwig from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from both the Ladies' Home Journal, October 10th edition, and the September edition of Glamour Magazine. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Our article from the Ladies' Home Journal is titled, Is It Just a Headache? This article is by Darren Eller. Recently, I was up in the middle of the night on my computer trying to figure out what could be causing the pounding headache I'd had for 5 days. Sinus infection. My doctor confirmed my self-diagnosis the next day and sent me home with nasal spray and a prescription for antibiotics. Brain tumor averted, I told my husband. I didn't want to say anything, but I was thinking brain tumor too, he said, clearly as relieved as I was. It's easy to fear the worst when you have a really bad headache, even though most are benign. But it can be risky to ignore your symptoms. A severe headache or changes in your headache pattern can signal a real health emergency, says Dawn Marcus, MD, associate professor at the University of Pittsburgh of Medicine, and author of 10 Simple Solutions to Migraines. Even if you're getting headaches that are mild, but unlike any you've had before, bring it up with your doctor. We asked the experts how to tell normal symptoms from warning signs. Here's the first one. Your headaches aren't constant. They go away after a few hours, but they keep coming back. Possible cause. If you have a dull ache behind your eyes and it hurts just to move your head, you may have a sinus headache caused by allergies or infections. You probably have a tension headache if it feels more like a vice tightening around your temples in the back of your head and your neck also. What to do first? Don't try to cure yourself. Instead, see a doctor or allergist. If you take a decongestant for a sinus headache, but it's actually a migraine, the drug could worsen the pain. For sinus aches, your doctor may suggest decongestant salines or prescription corticosteroids, nasal sprays, and either antibiotics or antihistamines. Tension headaches aids include analgesics, antidepressants, and muscle relaxants, as well as ice pack, biofeedback, and yoga. But if there's a pulsating pain on one side of your head and light and noise make it worse, perhaps it's a migraine, even if you don't think you get them. Half the people with migraines think there's something else, says a recent migraine survey. Swollen blood vessels in the brain trigger migraines, which are hereditary. And the pain isn't always intense. If you remember seeing your mother throw up and stay in bed all day long from a migraine, you may think that anything less severe couldn't possibly be one. But don't discount your symptoms. Start with an over-the-counter, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug such as aspirin, ibuprofen, or naproxen. A pill with caffeine, for example, Excedrin, can increase the anti-migraine effect. Sleeping may help too. It can alter the serotonin levels, which is how some prescription migraine medicines help relieve the pain. Consider going to a headache specialist. You'll probably be asked to keep a diary to see whether certain foods, such as red wine, caffeine, aged cheese, or situations, such as skipping meals, stress, smoke, or intense exercise, are the primary cause of your migraine. Hormone changes can also be a factor. Your doctor may prescribe a drug including beta and calcium channel blockers, triptans, and ergotamines. Botox injections can help, perhaps by blocking pain pathways. You can also numb the throbbing area with the Liboderm patch. Maybe you seldom get headaches, but this one's a doozy, and you've had it for 3 days. It could be a new daily persistent headache, one type of condition called a chronic daily headache. Suspect NDPH if the pain starts abruptly and you're queasy and sensitive to light and noise. Recent illness could be a factor. Many sufferers test positive for the Epstein-Barr virus. It could be a chronic tension headache if the pain varies in intensity but is continuous and is often linked to depression and anxiety. Or you could have a rebound headache from extensive use of painkillers or migraine medicines. These punishing headaches can happen 15 plus days a month, and each last 4 hours or longer. So ask your doctor about stronger drugs if you should stop taking what you're already taking. These headaches usually get better by themselves, though painkillers help shorten their term. Anti-seizure drugs can relieve severe cases. Chronic tension headaches often respond to antidepressants. Botox injections in the back of the head and neck could relax muscles to help tension headaches. If drug overuse is the cause, other treatments, including non-drug ones, might break the cycle. Well, what if your head hurts all over a lot and you have a fever and a stiff neck? Meningitis, or less likely, encephalitis. Meningitis is an inflammation of the lining of the brain and spinal cord, while encephalitis is an inflammation of the brain itself. A virus or bacteria can cause either disease, and the bacterial infection is more deadly. If you have meningitis, you may also develop a rash. So you need to rush to the ER. Minutes counts, especially for bacterial meningitis. At the ER, you'll get a neurological evaluation and spinal tap. If the cause is bacterial, you'll receive intravenous antibiotics. For a viral infection, you may be given an antiviral drug. Severe cases may require prescription anti-seizure drugs and steroids. But what if you bumped your head and you have a really bad headache? As actress Natasha Richardson's March 2009 death showed, even a minor knock to the head can cause brain injury. Or you could have a concussion, a less severe but still serious trauma. People are surprised when they've had really bad headaches after something fairly minor. But if you blacked out or you became confused, you need to be checked immediately. Concussions can cause memory loss, affect balance and coordination, and bring about headaches for weeks or months. Women are more prone to men. So go to the ER, and no matter how much your head hurts, don't take anything with aspirin, ibuprofen, or naproxen. All these drugs increase your risk of bleeding in the brain. If all you have is a concussion, the main cure is rest. Don't do anything mentally taxing or physically risky until you get the word from your physician. Your headaches may continue for a while, so ask the doctor what pain relief is best. But if a CAT scan reveals bleeding in your brain, you may need surgery, and you may need medications for seizures or physical therapy. If you have a sudden, intense, excruciating headache after several minutes, but the pain starts to fade, these are called thunderclap headaches. They can signal a subacnoid hemorrhage when a brain artery with a weakened wall, an aneurysm, ruptures or is about to. These strokes are rare, but they can happen even in your 20s. It's very abrupt and feels like the worst headache of your life. Other signs: loss of consciousness, nausea, and a stiff neck. If tests rule out a stroke, you may have had a cluster headache. These start with excruciating pain, often behind the eyes. You can get as many as 4 a day for weeks. Then they disappear for months or forever. As with head injury, don't take aspirin or other NSAIDs, which will increase bleeding. Instead, go to the ER immediately, even if the headache stops. First, you need a CAT scan and maybe a spinal tap to see if you had a stroke. If so, surgery and medications may repair the rupture. Follow-up treatment may include medication, physical, and speech therapy. For cluster headaches, the goal is to prevent the cycles with steroids, calcium channel blockers, or anti-epileptic drugs. Some are easy to treat with medications, while some are resistant to them. If the first treatment doesn't help, there are always many, many other options. Well, what if you develop a headache when you sneeze, cough, or run? Or you often wake up in the morning with head pain? These are potential signs of brain tumors, but don't panic. Exertion is a common headache trigger, and you may wake up with a headache if you didn't sleep well. Tumors, on the other hand, are rare. They cause less than 1% of all headaches. And by the time a brain tumor gives you a headache, you should have already had other symptoms, such as blurry vision, weakness, or trouble thinking or talking. But see your doctor pronto. You might need to see a neurologist. The first step is usually a neurological exam, plus imaging tests such as a CAT scan or MRI. If everything's clear, the usual headache remedies, such as NSAIDs or acetaminophen, should work. If they do find a tumor, you may need surgery. Afterwards, your doctor could recommend radiation or chemotherapy. Now, here are doctors' best headache remedies. Eat before parties. An empty stomach can make your head pound, especially if you're sipping a cocktail. Switch to white wine. Red wine often triggers headaches, especially in people who are prone to migraines. Get rid of fumes. Heavy aromas, including those from perfumes, gasoline, and cigarette smoke, may be a trigger. Pop a caffeine pill. If you get a morning headache after sleeping late, it could signify caffeine withdrawal. So get up a little earlier and take a no-dose pill, which has caffeine, then sleep before the pill kicks in. You will wake up without a headache. Book a massage. This is wonderful for tension headaches. Take computer breaks. Stop every 20 minutes or so to look up and stretch your neck. You'll short-circuit the pain. Block the pain. Acupuncture is one of the best alternative remedies for migraines and tension headaches. Cut the glare. Avoid eye strain by getting an anti-reflective coating on your eyeglasses and anti-glare screen for your monitor. Pre-treat it. Taking ibuprofen or naproxen can stop you from getting an exercise headache. Pop one before you begin your workout. The last remedy, cuddle up. If pain is coming on, head for the bedroom. An amorous adventure is a surprisingly good headache cure. It gets the endorphins going. Now we will be switching to the Glamour magazine, September 2010 edition. Let's save Lady Gaga from herself. This article is by Jessica Pressler. We love the not-so-close and over-the-top attitude, but when she started acting like every other celebrity, we got worried. Here's how she can avoid pulling a Lindsay. A few years ago, the country was suffering from severe case of post-celebrity stress disorder. The celebrities we had watched grow up on MTV and Fox, like Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears, that nice girl from the OC, were all experiencing some serious implosions. Between the sex tapes, drug issues, and spontaneous head shavings, it began to feel wrong to watch these famous people act crazy. Until Lady Gaga arrived. As detailed in not one but two Gaga books that hit the bookstores this month, when Stephanie Joanne Garmato stomped onto the scene with those high go-go boots, it was like a new era had begun. Her whole act, from the way she carried herself, accompanied by bodyguards, before most of us knew she was a star, to those iconic cartoon outfits, was like a reaction against all the justice like us starlets. Her mantra, if you're going to be an entertainer, look entertaining. That her second album was called The Fame Monster. The first, of course, was titled Fame, and contained songs about wanting to be famous more than anything else, made her seem not desperate but self-aware. It felt like a joke that we were all in on. A commentary on ridiculous celebrity worship. Best of all, Lady Gaga seemed strong. She was a self-made, big-nosed, ambitious girl who told New York Magazine, "I'm from New York. I will kill to get what I need." She could handle anything. or it seemed like she could, until she suddenly started acting just like the celebrities we thought she was making fun of. She showed up possibly drunk to TV appearances and performances, collapsed at a concert, flipped off a photographer in a Mets game, had the famed monster gotten its claws into Lady Gaga. Fame and money do weird things to a gal, says Simone Donen, the author of Wacky Chicks. But he adds, as a supporter of all things eccentric, I am anxiously clutching the safety net in case she falls. Maureen Callahan, author of Poker Face, The Rise and Rise of Lady Gaga, believes Gaga has all the tools for a long-term career. Talent, a solid work ethic, and legends like Elton John and Madonna aligning themselves with her. Plus, she's educated, smart, and comes from a strong, stable family. But ultimately, of course, her longevity is up to hers. Our advice, Lady Gaga? Disappear. Find a charity and write a kick-ass third album. We even have a title for you, The Fame Master. Our next article is called Five Health Truths You Need to Live By. This is by Daphne Oz. She learned them by growing up in that famous house of Dr. Oz of the Oprah Show. Now she's sharing her tips with all of us. When I was a kid, my parents had a basic philosophy. Don't sweat the small stuff, but be sure to take care of the big stuff. These are some of the lessons I've learned. They've kept me healthy, and I hope they'll keep you healthy, too. The first step, don't follow your doctor blindly. At our dinner table, medical treatments and surgery techniques were constantly debated by my dad, uncle, and grandpa, all surgeons, and my mother, a holistic health practitioner. So I got used to the ideas that different doctors have different perspectives. It's tempting to turn doctors into some kind of gods, but the truth is, they're human. Getting a second opinion before starting any course of treatment is not only okay, it's essential. Tip number two. Your drink of choice should be water. In our house, juice was for taking vitamins or medicine, and milk went with cereal. When you were thirsty, we drank water. In college, I was surprised when I saw people guzzle soda like it was water. A regular 12-ounce can of cola has 140 calories. One a day would help you gain a pound every month. Tip number three, you should be the number one expert on your body. I don't know if you saw that classic episode of Oprah where my dad talked about poop for a full hour. Needless to say, I was taught at a very early age to pay attention to how my body felt on a daily basis, and when something was wrong, I would know it. When you're comfortable with all your body's normals, you'll be able to notice abnormalities. Some of the most important information that a woman can share with her doctor is when and how something in her body has changed. Tip number four, getting a little dirty is good for you. Lately, it seems like all my friends have become germ freaks, wielding bottles of Purell to thwart any bacteria. But we might have had it right as kids when we were perfectly content to suck on a dirty Cheerio that fell on the floor. I spent much of my childhood running around my grandparents' farm. We washed our hands before every meal, but no doubt we got plenty of dirt and, yes, probably even manure in our mouths. Now researchers know that bacteria you pick up in natural environments actually help boost your immunity by teaching your body how to respond. If we disinfect everything, our bodies may become unprepared to deal with problematic bugs, leading us to more severe illnesses and allergies. Her last tip, your body craves playtime. We have a tradition that takes place when all four Oz kids are home. It's called the Oz Family Olympics, and we spend a Saturday morning having stair races, basketball tournaments, or ping pong rallies. We sneak in some exercise, laugh constantly, and afterwards we feel amazing. Playing restores you. Unlike so much else in our lives, play is impossible to do the wrong way. It promotes well-being. It taps into our unconscious and imaginative moments. For all those reasons, it helps with stress relief and makes you better at problem solving. And it's just plain fun. From the Ask the Doctor column, Health Answers Please. Help! I can't get an appointment with my MD until October. What gives? The main reason is probably simply red tape and the complexity of modern medicine. Doctors spend a lot more time dealing with insurance companies, labs, and pharmacies than they used to. The result? We see on an average 20 to 25 patients a day, compared to 30 patients a day a generation ago. So what can you do now? Most physicians leave openings in their day for urgent health issues, such as severe dizziness, abdominal pain. So describe your symptoms to the scheduler, and someone in the practice should be able to see you the same day. If you still can't get in, go to an urgent care clinic. Many large pharmacies have them. Or as a last resort, try an emergency room. The only money rules that will make you rich. Life-changing advice from the latest darling of the personal finance world, 20-year-old wonder kid Zach Bissonnette, author of the new book, Debt-Free You. Everyone thinks being good with money is all about the long term. Skip the latte now so that you'll have $4 million when you're 150. Retirement is important, but the reason to be wiser about your money is a lot more immediate. The effect on debt on your life and health starts to manifest itself now. In fact, one poll found that people with high levels of debt stress were 7 times more likely to suffer from anxiety than people without it. Debtors were also 3 times more likely to suffer from ulcers and migraines. No ailments? Read on and you'll feel better. My advice? Don't think getting out of debt as a way to live a sweet life in 50 years. Better money management will make you happier now. Take it from me. After listening to my parents argue about money when I was in school, I vowed to handle finances differently. I managed to pay my way through college without mom or dad's help. Or student loans. As I see it, the people most of us look to for help with financial decisions have a strong incentive to rip us off or overextend us, even bankers and financial aid employees at colleges. So it's up to you to educate yourself and not live in denial. These are the things I want every woman to know. Money buys security, but not happiness. When it comes to money, most of us assume we'd be happier if we had more. And that's true up to a point. But a Princeton University researcher found that joy-making impact of income maxes out at, get this, at $60,000 a year. So what does this mean? Depending on the cost of living in your city, earning $60,000 will make you a lot happier than earning $40,000. But not any happier than earning $50,000. How can that be? Well, it's a case of never enough syndrome. The more people make, the more people spend, the more people want. It's the same. It's something to think about the next time you're trolling hotjobs.com looking for a high-paying job. Think about it. Will it really make you happier? Tip number two. The sooner you start saving for retirement, the richer you'll be. Now, most people delay saving for retirement because they'd rather spend money on stuff. Ladies, let me introduce to you Gina and Kristen. They save $500 every month from the age 25 to 35. She invests that money in stock market at an average return of 8%. So she will end up with $1,324 by the time she reaches age 65. That's with literally zero retirement savings after the age of 35. Kristen doesn't start saving for retirement until she turns 50. Then she invests $2,000 per month until she turns 65, at which point she will have earned $692,000. Kristen saves $360,000 over a 15-year period, but still won't catch up with Gina. If all those numbers are confusing, here's the only thing you really need to know. Save a little bit now so you don't have to save a heck of a lot more later. Tip number three, you'll never get rich if you always have a car payment. The average monthly car payment is $467. If you invest that same amount of money from age 20 to 65, you'll have a nest egg of $4 million. So want my advice? Go with a used set of wheels unless you can pay cash. Tip number four, before a relationship gets too serious, you need to be on the same page about money. Discussing your credit scores may not seem sexy, but neither will arguing about bills and living expenses later. Too many couples spend 30 years nagging each other about money. Who wants that? What can you do short of demanding 3 years of tax returns? Pick a fun goal to work toward, like saving for a weekend getaway. Then you'll get a good idea about his sense of money. Tip number five, the people you think are rich probably aren't. Quick question, what is the most popular new brand car among millionaires? It's Toyota. And what about the people who seem rich? They could easily be living on credit. Remember, the only way to know how well someone is doing financially is to look at their tax returns. If you try to keep up with the Joneses, you'll end up broke and miserable. The last tip, tip number six, giving away money feels better than buying things. Researchers at the University of the British of Columbia found that when people were given $5 to $20 and told them either to spend it on themselves or someone else, or by buying a gift or by donating to charity, those who donated the money were happier than those who spent the money on whatever they wanted. If you want to use money to make yourself happy, giving some of it away is what you can afford to do, and you can afford to do it now. Here's a few interesting points about your all-time favorite leading ladies. Meryl Streep, she's the actor with the most Oscar nominations. Lucille Ball, she was the first woman to receive the International Radio and Television Society's Gold Medal. Betty White, at age 88, she is the oldest person to guest host Saturday Night Live, proof that we get funnier with age. Halle Berry, first ever female African-American Oscar winner for Best Actress in a Leading Role. Catherine Bigelow, first ever female to win an Oscar for Best Director. Kate Winslet has an Oscar and a Grammy, not too shabby. And Reese Witherspoon, in her 2005 role, Walk the Line, she earned an Oscar, a Golden Globe, a BAFTA, a Screen Actors Guild Award, and the Teen Choice Award. The seven best literary heroines of all times. Number one, Jo March, the creative tomboy sister in the Little Women series. She's been inspiring people for 142 years. Listeria. In Aristophanes' ancient comedy, she led a sex strike for women to end the war. Number three, Jane Eyre. The Plain Jane in Charlotte Bronte's 1847 classic proved that you can get the guy and stay true to yourself. Hermione Granger. The smarty pants actor in Harry Potter's tries to organize a union for elves. Number five, Sue LaPeace, the town bad girl who played her own role in Toni Morrison's 1973 classic Sula, demonstrated the power, both good and bad, of female friendships. Elizabeth Bennet, the strong-willed heroine of Jane Austen's 1813 Pride and Prejudice, held out for true love and found it in her nemesis, Mr. Darcy. And last, Eva Luna, the servant girl in Isabel Allende's 1988 magical novel. Well, that's all the time we have today. We've run out of time for today's episode of From Soups to Nuts. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Beth Ludwig, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long, until next time.